you so much. Praise God. Isn't it a blessing to be in the house of the Lord? It's been all week in my house, and though that's a nice place to be, there's nothing like the house of the Lord. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Excuse me. And as you and I have come to seek the Lord this day, he has something for you. He knows what you have faced this week, and he knows what you and I need today. And so as we get into the Word of God, let us bow our heads. Gracious Father above, thank you because you are good. Thank you because you know everything about us, and you have prepared something to fill us. You've given us your word, Father, so may we hear your word. May we receive your word, and may we be changed by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hiding in Thee, part 2. We have started a journey, at least the last couple months, back in Genesis. And we're still strolling through Genesis. We saw how we have an amazing creator who made all that the eye can and cannot see. Who made everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh. We spent a few weeks just talking about the Sabbath. And then we get to the creation of man and the subplot. And how there was a war in heaven, welcome back, Evan, in which you and I are all involved in today. In fact, this conversation is a conversation that affects you and affects me to this very day. In fact, we saw how the devil had been trying to distort the character of God, and he did that with an armed attack in regards to the Word of God. What did God say? Let's turn into our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Not only was this Satan's attack during this discussion with Eve, but in fact, during Jesus' time on earth, it was the same attack where Jesus even had to stop and ask the Sadducees and Pharisees the following question: how readest thou? How do you read the Word of God? The Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So Adam and Eve maybe started asking themselves, did God mean what he said? I mean, that if we were to eat of that tree, we would surely die? Kind of like the same questions that Noah and his family could have asked. What did God really mean when he said that it was gonna rain? Or maybe, what did God really mean when he said that he would come back the second time? Does God actually mean what he says? You could say amen. Yes, he does mean what he says. You see, there was a deliberate choice to know what she had not known before. What is it that she had not known before? You see, she had known the good, and the good, according to the Bible, was very good. What she had not known was evil. And for some reason, she thought that evil was something worth knowing. And I'd like to say that she's the only one in that camp. But maybe you have found yourself, and maybe I too have found myself, maybe wondering what evil looks like. Some would even go as far as to blame God for the bad things that happened to them. Maybe this week you were sick like me. Maybe it wasn't a week. Maybe it's been months. Maybe it's been years that you've been sick or in a grave condition. And we could be tempted to blame God and say that you're responsible for this. Or maybe it's not a sickness, but we're just so sad because of what we're going through. God, if you really cared about me, you would take care of this situation. You wouldn't let me go through this sadness. Or maybe we could blame God for the injustice that we see in this world. Not just in this world, but maybe in your own life. Or maybe we blame God because they should not have died so quickly. They should have lived a long, fruitful life. And now all we have are memories and pictures and videos to go back to. God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't have allowed this to happen. God is not responsible for this misery. Who is? The devil is. And so when we suffer, we need to put the blame where the blame should be at. God is not responsible for that. The devil is. You see, Satan found his way into Eden and made Eve believe that she needed something more than that which God had given for her happiness. That the forbidden fruit would have a special exhilarating influence upon her body and mind, and would exalt her to even be equal with God in knowledge. But the knowledge and benefits she thought to gain proved to her a terrible curse. Wow. That's what he did in the garden in tempting Eve. In fact, it was the same temptation that he presented Jesus. For all of us wrestle with this temptation in one way, shape, or form. With Jesus, he took him to see all the kingdoms of the world, to see if he would just kneel down for just a moment to worship him. Then he would be given all of this glory and fame and honor. You see, the devil, he wants to tempt me to think that my happiness is in obtaining what shouldn't be mine. Whether as a single man, or as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, you name it. He tries to tempt us to think that happiness is outside of God. Look at this quote. She was perfectly happy where? In Eden's home, by her husband's side. And you know, that's still a happy place, is it not? Yeah. But like restless modern Eves, she was flattered that there was a higher sphere than that which God had assigned her. But in attempting to climb higher than her original position, she fell far below it. This most assuredly be the result with the Eves of the present generation, if they neglect to cheerfully take up their daily life duties in accordance with God's plan. There is a work for women that is even more important than elevating the duties of the king upon his throne. Wow, what could it be? They may mold the minds of their children and shape their characters so that they may be useful in this world and that they may become sons and daughters of God. You see, the fabric of the family determines the fabric of the church. And the fabric of the church determines the fabric of the society. And so if there ever was a time to seek the Lord as a family and embrace the plan for God for us as husbands, for us as wives, and as children of God, it is now, because we are reluctant to realize the impact that this has on the community. Pretty soon, my wife and I can't speak this morning, we'll have two little ones with us. And you want to know what our roles are while we have them? It's what's on that screen, to shape those characters. Because their characters will affect society. Now, do we need something more than God to be happy? And that's a fundamental question. Because we face that question silently very frequently. Because that then in turn becomes our source of fulfillment. You see, what is it that God said that is so important to us? You see, John 6:68, the Bible says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life." You see, life is not outside of God. Life is in Christ. In God's word, is God's word a matter of life or death? Yeah? You think so? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. I won't put that one up on the screen. The Bible says, my people are, they're a little sick. They stumble. What does it say? They're destroyed, the Bible says. Why? For lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of God. And the only place you and I can find out who God is in the Word of God. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Wow, the word of God. It sounds like the word of God is a matter of life or death. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. John chapter 5. The Bible says, search the scriptures, for in where? In them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which what? Testify of me. Wow. And ye will not come to who? To me, that ye might have life. So the way that we come to Christ is through his word. Search the scriptures, the Bible says. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee. This is a matter of life situation. Jesus said, man shall not live by what? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Should God's word be important to us? I think so. Because when I'm not in God's word, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What's the only natural outcome of that result? You just said it. Sin. Is sin even an issue with us today? I think so. I'd like to say that I didn't sin this week. How about you? And maybe we say, you know what? It was a good week. I didn't sin. Praise the Lord that God even sees the sins of our ignorance. Whew. And he has provision for it too. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And where do we find where the law is at? It's in the Word of God that we find where His law is at. The devil would like to have us think the following. He'd like to have us think that sin is life and that obedience is death. I think it's flipped-flopped. Sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And obedience, is it death? Oh no. The psalmist writes that sacrifice, you know, that's a great thing to have a sacrifice. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. But pastor, it was just a little sin this week. It wasn't that bad. It was almost a cute one. Nobody saw it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Turn with me. Little sin. We saw last time, small temptation leads to what? Big sin. Because sometimes we think small temptation leads to little sin. No. Small temptation leads to big sin. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall what? Do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Huh. God will not pass over any transgression of his law more lightly now than in the day when he pronounced judgment against Adam. I mean, we think of the massacre in Vegas like a horrible thing, and it was. But in God's eyes, that sin is sin, just like the disobedience that happened in the Garden of Eden. Jesus had to die for those sins. He's made provision for those sins. Because sometimes we think it's not that important to God. No, it is important to God. Maybe we just need to stop justifying our sins and seek the justifier. Because I sure can't justify my sins. Because here's the thing about sin. The sin never stays there. How so? My sin doesn't just affect me. I'd like to think it does. But my sin actually affects everybody around. Genesis 3, verse 6, the Bible says, let's see how sin affected our first parents. The Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, that's like sin, and did eat, and what then happened? And gave also unto her husband. And he did eat. In other words, it wasn't just Eve now who did wrong, but now it's Adam, the Eve and Adam. And you press the fast forward button, and now they have children, and they got that stuff too. I wonder if we really stop to think about how this temptation and if I give in to this temptation and how it will affect those around me. I wonder if we give that enough thought, as we should. Disobedience not only hardens the heart and conscience of the guilty one, but it tends to corrupt the faith of others. That which looked very wrong to them at first gradually loses this appearance by being constantly before them. So finally, they question whether it is really sin and unconsciously fall into the same error. We get used to what's wrong, so much so that we think wrong is right, and we start creating an environment like that. But in the beginning, it was not so. In the beginning, it was good. In the beginning, it was perfect. There was peace. Excuse me. There was happiness. There was unity as they walked with their God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Eve sins, Adam sins, and even all creation feels the effect. I mean, even the lion in the picture is asking them, what did you guys just do? There used to be a union between man and all creation. But once sin created that separation, everything changed. You see, their eyes were indeed opened, and they realized that they were naked. In what we have been taking a look at is a reality that Eve was deceived, not Adam. When he came into the situation, he was like, oh man. The warnings that we received about the tempter and this angel that got kicked out of heaven, yep, he's been here. And she slipped. But Adam's situation was much different. Adam chose Eve over God. Question. Where was Eve's source of happiness? Was it not in God? Was Adam's source of happiness? Where should it have been? In God. Where's your source of happiness? Where's my source of happiness? Is it in God? And so they look around this Garden of Eden, and they try to find not the strawberry leaves. They don't take a look at the parsley or the cilantro. They look for the biggest leaves they could find. And I reckon them fig leaves, they're mighty big. They wanted as much coverage as possible. But that's a very interesting thing. You know why? Because just a few moments ago, Eve was crazy about a certain fruit. And Adam had some too. But now their concern is not so much after the fruit anymore. But they wanted the leaves. Interesting. They wanted the leaves and not the fruit. My Bible tells me that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, of which there is no law. They didn't want the Holy Spirit anymore. They made a decision to say, God, I want something else. I want someone else. And they ended up with what the Bible calls his filthy rags. Have you ever committed a sin and thought that maybe taking a shower would take care of it, and then finish the shower, towel off, get dressed, and you still feel horrible with the guilt on your shoulders? Filthy rags. The Bible says some of us have become like one who is unclean. All of us. I have. You have. We have. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a what? Have we seen some leaves lately? Oh, that's right. There was a pair, two people, who were trying to cover themselves with leaves. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You know what the bad thing is? Sometimes we recognize this and sometimes we don't. Sometimes I think I'm clothed, but maybe I'm not. Sometimes I think I'm in my own righteousness, thinking that that's all the righteousness I need. My Bible tells me that there's a righteousness that I can't buy, that there's a righteousness that I can't create. There's a righteousness that's not in my closet. There's a righteousness that can only come from above. And that's the righteousness of Christ. See, they had three issues. Number one, the obvious. They committed sin, and they had now no way out, no remedy for the sin, much less the death of its consequence. Number two, they had lost their robes of righteousness, and now they were the first. She was the first. He was the first. Seamstresses, sewing fig leaves. And last but not least, which is the greatest issue, they could no longer enter into God's presence as before. And that's something we got to think about. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? Look at this. Nothing can man devise to supply the place of his lost robe of innocence. No fig leaf garment, no worldly citizen dress, can be worn by those who sit down with Christ and angels at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's nothing you can do that I can do to supply what we have lost in the beginning. The robe of light which had enshrouded them now disappeared. And to supply its place, they endeavored to fashion for themselves a covering, for they could not, while unclothed, meet the eye of God and holy angels. Have we forgotten whose presence we are preparing to be in for eternity? There were two things that they forsook in this deception. Number one, they forsook God's word of truth. How so? Well, what did God say? Oh, he said, you can eat from every tree, just not from this one. If you do eat from this one, you will surely die. But the second thing that they forsook was the righteousness of Christ. And it's interesting because Paul points out the same thing in Ephesians 6, verse 14, about the word of God and righteousness. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness. He puts them together in this order. This was not what I thought of. You see, the Bible says of itself that the word of truth is like a belt. What happens when we don't have our belts on? We are unclothed. pants are on the ground. We're embarrassed. There's shame. Just like Adam and Eve felt. Because the word of God was put aside. But then right after that, Paul brings together with the word of truth the necessity of having us be clothed with the breastplate of righteousness. They tell me that the breastplate was to cover what part of the soldier's body? Kind of the chest area. You see, there was a certain part of a certain organ amongst this part of the cavity in the soldier's body that if it were punctured, that's all, folks. It's the heart. Jesus said, if you love me, you will abide in my love. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's a good thing the devil's not tempting us today to put God's word aside. How did it go with us this week? With the word of God. How did it go with you? How did it go with me in my time in my time with Jesus in his word? Praise God that today we can get closer. Today I can spend time in his word and know him even more. Adam and Eve had to leave home. We'll study about that later. Not today. But how do we get back home? We need to seek Jesus and trust Jesus in his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If there ever was a time in which we are being attacked to put God's word aside, it's now. That's number one. Number two, how do we get back home? Seek his righteousness first. Because just like Adam and Eve, we're needing to still be clothed. I'm needing to be clothed because if I'm... Excuse me. If I am not clothed in Christ's righteousness, I'm not clothed at all. And last but not least, desire the fruit and not the leaves. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Could it be that we have been spending some time as of late seeking maybe good things, but maybe not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Maybe thinking that I'm okay where I'm at. I did my laundry this week. My clothes don't smell. They look good. It's even ironed. I look good in your eyes, but yet in his eyes, I'm dirty. In his eyes, there's a distance between me and him. In his eyes, I'm not as close as I need to be to him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Today, I'd like to give us an invitation to make a decision to choose God and to put him first. You know, it doesn't take much to have other things be first. It doesn't take much to maybe have my spouse be first. It doesn't take much to maybe have me think my kids need to be first, or my job needs to be first, or my hobby needs to be first. Is God first? If you desire for God to be first in your life, anew today, I'd like to invite you to stand. Praise God. I too answer that call. But that's not where the verse finishes. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what else? And his righteousness. That means that God has a garment prepared for you and for me, shed at Calvary, so that you and I can be covered, can be cleansed, can be purified in him. Maybe you're needing forgiveness today. Maybe you're needing to be made right with God. Maybe there's a sin that you're needing to put aside and you want to say, Jesus, forgive me. I want to be clothed in your forgiveness. I can't think my sin is not there. You know it's there. And I need you because you're the only one who can deal with my sin. And so today, if that is you, if you are wanting to reclaim Jesus' righteousness and to leave sin or sins, whatever it may be, in the past, and move forward by faith in him, I'd like to invite you to come forward. God bless you. I praise God because he gives us opportunities to come to him by faith. He gives us opportunity today. I don't know if we will have tomorrow. We got it today. Don't wait to make things right with God next week or next Sabbath or next month. Choose to be made right with God today. Who else would like to respond to this invitation? Come on up. Come. Today, while we hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We don't need to seek all these things first. We need to seek him first and his righteousness. Will you make that decision? Father, thank you because you have been preparing our hearts to make a decision for this very moment. And Father, we confess that maybe you have not been first as you should be in our lives. Father, forgive us. Forgive us in seeking the leaves. Forgive us in thinking that there's a better place, a higher place for us, that happiness outside of communion with you is possible. But no, happiness can only be found in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you because you've provided for us the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away my sin, who takes away all of our sins. And today, we accept Christ anew. And Father, we don't want to just accept your robe of righteousness in Christ Jesus. We want to accept your Holy Spirit and repent. Father, there could even be someone here who your Holy Spirit is nudging on them to make a decision to be baptized. Move them, Father. Make them uncomfortable. Because how could we be comfortable outside of you? Thank you, because someday soon we'll be able to receive you in glory. We do see the gleams of the golden morning. We see all the signs around us. We see the disasters. We don't need any more signs. You are at the doors. And it is our prayer that we may be found ready. Bless your children and prepare us to be in your holy presence for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. You may remain standing as we head back to our seats as we sing, Hiding in Thee.
Please turn to hymn number 525, Hiding in Thee.
Higher than I.
Father, we thank you for you provided Christ Jesus. In him we move, live, and breathe. And today we want to move forward by faith, not seeking the things that we can find or attain. You've promised to provide our every need. You provided our every joy and fulfillment in Christ. And so today, may you be first. May your word guide us in the ways we should go. And may you grant us victory as soon Jesus shall come. In Jesus' name, amen.